Good evening. Please stand as we sing number 523, A Flag to Follow.
I sought a flag to follow, a cause for which to stand. I sought a valiant leader who could my love command. I sought a stirring challenge, some noble work to try, to give my life fulfillment, my dreams to satisfy. I found them all in Jesus, the life, the truth, the way. Beneath this flag I'll take my stand and follow him today. I sought a ringing answer for all my doubts inside. A torch of truth uplifted my searching steps to guide. I sought a word of wisdom, a true authority. I sought to know life's purpose, to solve its mystery. I found them all in Jesus, the life, the truth, the way. Beneath this flag I'll take my stand and follow him today. I sought for satisfaction, for yearning deep within. I sought for full deliverance from chains of guilt and sin. I sought for peace and pardon, for freedom from my fears. I sought a hope to cling to beyond these passing years. I found them all in Jesus, the life, the truth, the way. Beneath this flag I'll take my stand and follow him today.
Good to see you back tonight. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we ask every service for your power on the preaching. We do that again tonight. We ask, Lord, to be with those that are already here, those that are sick at home watching. I pray, Lord, that you just speak through me tonight. And I ask you, Lord, to help with the rest of the singing and the special. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
We will be singing Come Thou Fount, number 507.
Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonic, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus, on me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace thou great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind thy wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
These these folks we need to pray for. Don't always pray for Preacher and Cindy. I shouldn't have to say that. She's still recovering from COVID. And then bus visitation 9:30 on Saturday morning. So went at 10:45. Back in our places for Sunday school 9:45. Church at 10:50. Don't forget the youth conference that was scheduled for the 19th and 20th has been canceled. Brother Owens, some of you know that the airlines have been kind of wacky lately. And what they did was he was supposed to fly back after preaching Thursday and or Friday and Saturday for us. He was supposed to fly back Friday evening, and they changed his flight to Sunday morning. So he was going to miss his church, and he doesn't miss his church, so that's why he canceled the meeting. I don't have any new dates set yet. As soon as I find out some new dates, I will let you know that. But those of you that was going to help us work, you get next weekend off, so thank you for volunteering. But we will still rely on you sometime down the road when we reschedule. But again, pray for it. We also have some college kids that already went to college, some more that will be leaving. So again, make sure you pray for our college kids. It's always a blessing to have kids in college. It's also kind of a curse because some of our workers disappear and they go to work for some other church during that time. But pray for our college kids. And again, always pray for our country. Some of the folks in the past asked me to stop talking about politics, so I try to be nice. Brother Nichols won't do any good to ask him that. I do listen once in a while. Brother Nichols is going to tell you what he thinks anyway. But I am amazed at the junk that they pull well off and the stuff that they're doing. But again, continue to pray for our country, and then I appreciate if you pray for my son. Won't be deployed till September, but pray for our military as well.
Please stand as we sing number 502, And Can It Be?
And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain for me, who am to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy of immense and free. Oh, my God, it found out me. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thy night diffused the quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, and we praise your holy name. So much you did for us, dying on the cross for our sinful soul, Lord. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we're washed in the blood, those that are saved, Lord. Bless this offering and the gift and the giver, Lord. We love you, Lord, and be with the preaching tonight, Lord. Let it just stir our hearts up. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Thank you. Mrs. Cools. Is she there as well as the kids or just the kids? All right. This is about Chashan. Chashan's...
We will be singing number 492, All I Need.
Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness, this very hour, my redemption full and free, He is all I need. He's the treasure of my soul, all I need, all I need. He hath cleansed and made me whole, He I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness, this very hour, my redemption full and free, He is all I need. Glory, glory to the Lamb, all I need, all I need. By His Spirit sealed I am, He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness, this very hour, my redemption full and free, He is all I need.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future. Let me start this over again. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from the sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And tomorrow I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Every step is getting brighter as I golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter, every cloud is silver lined. There's a sun is always shining, there's no tear to dim the eye. at the end of the rainbow, where the mountain touched the sky. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered in his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
Turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 1, Psalms chapter 1 tonight. I didn't think I could set a new record getting dressed, but I did tonight. Last time I looked at my phone today, it was 5:30, and I was making phone calls. I called a bunch of the folks. I was calling folks on the prayer chain just to check up on everybody. And then I was supposed to meet Jessica here to get my hair cut so I could look handsome for you guys tonight. I was on the phone with the last person, and I looked at my phone, and it said 6:35, and I thought, uh-oh, because I was supposed to be at the church at 6:45. So 3 minutes later, I left the house fairly dressed. I had to finish getting dressed in the car, and I was only here about 10 minutes late. I mean, I was early for church, but I was late for my haircut, and I appreciate Jessica being patient waiting on me, but I didn't think I could still move that fast, so I'm hoping the dog got left inside. I'm not for sure. I was running around, so I'm hoping she's not outside sitting on the front porch. We're looking at the door wanting to go in, but Psalm chapter 1. Now, we've been talking, last week we got off the thought of the character stuff, and we talked about Philemon for a bit. Tonight we're going to go back to character lesson. I'm almost done with the character lessons, but this one's called Character and Being Planted. Character and Being Planted. Notice the first four verses, Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree. This is what we want to see. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Father, we ask as we do every service for your help and your power. I ask you, Lord, that you might give us something tonight that will help us through the week. Lord, something to be a blessing and a challenge to us. I pray, Lord, you'd help us that we might be planted as we should. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give you several things tonight as far as things that a Christian needs to be planted in. Now, first off, I just want to simply say that a Christian needs to be planted. Notice Psalms chapter 1, verse 3, and it makes this statement. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, again, when you think of a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, you have to understand that tree has roots. That tree grows big. It's not like, now, there are some trees that don't grow as big and don't grow as, but again, when you have water, when you're by a creek or you're by some water where you, again, at least water runs in that creek or in that, and again, I have a dry creek bed that goes through my property. You say, why do they call it a dry creek bed? Because it's dry most of the time, but it's a creek bed because when there's a big rain, I mean, it does run with water, but as soon as the rain stops, a few days later, it's dried up and there is no more water in the creek bed. But down there, I have a bunch of oak trees, and Brother Brazil has the same thing. We have a bunch of oak trees, and they're big, and they've grown because they get more water than the rest of the property. because, again, they have water in the creek some. When the water's already dried up on the rest of the land, they still have some water. But a regular creek or a regular stream, when you find, almost always you can tell, when you see something green out in the desert, you know what that means? There's some water there. And again, this tree is planted by the rivers of water, so again, it's not easily moved. Another thing about this tree, go in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 92. When I say a Christian needs to be planted, Psalm 92, notice verse 13 what it says. Psalm 92, 13 says, "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." Now, what he's saying is if you're planted in the Lord, and by the way, that means, I mean, he says you're going to prosper, you're going to benefit from God. Now, again, there are a lot of Christians that aren't planted. We'll talk about that in a moment, some things we should be planted in. Because they're not planted, they miss out on blessings because of the fact that they move and move and move and move. They lose out on a lot of blessings. Notice also Jeremiah chapter 17. The tree that has that's planted correctly will have some deep roots. Notice Jeremiah 17, verse 8. Jeremiah 17, 8 says, "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters." Now notice the next phrase, "And that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh." And what it means is it's not bothered by the heat. The heat doesn't bother. You know why? And by the way, "And her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." What he says is this tree, because it's by the river of water, its leaves are always green. It always bears fruit. Now there are a lot of trees that based on, for instance, there's a lot of areas around that based on the water. If we don't have the rains, people always ask me, "How'd the bees do?" Bees are like almost like anything else on the farm. It's dependent upon on God and nature. Several years ago, when I first got the bees, I had one hive. Then I went to nine hives. That year with nine hives, I got 300 pounds of honey. And I was all excited. That was a five-gallon bucket's about 50 to 60 pounds. So I had about almost 6 5-gallon buckets full of honey. Got rid of that. So the next year, I went to 32 hives. That year, we didn't get the rains right. And that year, with 32 hives, I had 40 pounds of honey. So I had three times the hives, and I ended up with 1/10 of the honey, or 1/9 of the honey. And so that year, I lost a bunch of money because I bought a bunch of bees because I thought, man, if I had, and I, again, in my mind, I was counting my chickens. I guess I was counting my bees before they made honey, but I thought 9 hives made 300 pounds, 32 hives is going to make, and I mean, I was thinking, I'm going to end up with 1,000 pounds of honey, and I was already thinking about what I was going to do with that. I got 40 pounds. Not too hard to figure out what to do with 40 pounds, because that's not very much honey. And the very next year, I end up with, I think I had 17 or 18 hives, and I had 500 pounds of honey. So again, when you have rains and when the weather's right, things are good, but this tree's not affected by that. If there's a drought going on, because it's by this river, its roots are drawing water, it's still producing fruit. Its leaves are still green. And by the way, that's what you and I, that Christian should be like that as well. A Christian grounded correctly. By the way, you may have, I mean, it may be a little tougher in the dry times, but guess what? You're still going to bring forth fruit, and you're still going to be green, and you're still going to be alive. So again, we want to make sure that we are planted. A Christian needs to be planted. By the way, we need to decide to follow Jesus for the rest of our lives. A lot of people live day by day. And by the way, you may have to do that financially. You should not do that spiritually. You should make up your mind that you're going to decide to follow Jesus. And by the way, that means this year and next year and the year after. And you're going to follow Jesus till you die. I always tell people, as long as you still got breath in your lungs, God still has a purpose for you. Because God doesn't waste. God's not a waster. He teaches us in Proverbs not to waste. And by the way, if you have no purpose, you are a waste of breath. You're a waste of space. So if you're still breathing, what that means is God has something for you to do. Because if he doesn't have anything for you to do, he could take you out in a heartbeat. I mean, he could take you out in a moment. He doesn't need any help. But again, a Christian should be planted. The second thing, and when he's talking about a Christian needs to be, we need to be planted in our home. Now, I am a lucky fellow in the sense that I lived in one house for 17 years till I went to Bible college, the same house. My brother still lives in that same house. My mom and dad died in that house, while they were still living in that house. But the truth is, that's not the case with many, many people. What that means is I went to the same school. And again, in a small town, some of you are not from small towns, you don't understand this. In a small town, we have the grade school and we have the high school. And by the way, our town was so large that we brought people from, they bust in some people from the littler towns. Now you say, how big was your town? It was 1,000 in population, but there were some smaller towns around us, so they bust in the kids from Reeds and La Russell and Wentworth. They brought them to our thriving metropolis, and they went to our school. I had the same 20-some kids in the kindergarten and the same kids in first grade and second grade. We knew each other because we was with each other all those years. There wasn't. And by the way, if a new kid came to school, it was a big deal. I mean, it was like, hey, who's the new kid? When Mrs. Block came to our town. Now, at that time, she wasn't, I mean, I didn't know her, but when she came to town, I recognized her because she was a visitor. And we didn't have very many visitors, very many new people in our town. Later on, when she became my girlfriend, I noticed a lot more. But again, understand, we need to be planted in our homes. What I mean by that is decide where you're going to live and stay there. By the way, it means you don't have to go looking for a church, because when you find a home, you find a church, and you just stay at that church. We'll talk about that again in a moment. By the way, they have this, when you decide to live and stay there, home helps create a stability. I had some bus kids on my bus ride. I'm sure all the other bus captains have the same issue. I had bus kids that sometimes change apartments every 6 months. Say, why did they do that? Because their parents didn't pay the bill and they got kicked out and they'd have to move to another place. And so it was always hard finding them, keeping up with them. Now, I had a rule on my bus ride. It was a real simple rule. No kids on my bus ride were allowed to move. That was what I, now they didn't all listen to that, but that was the rule I told them. They'd say, we're going to move. I said, you're not allowed to move. Go tell your parents you're not allowed to move. How come? Because you can't move off my bus route. It's so nice to have kids that you can count on every Sunday. You pull up and they come out. I mean, you visit them every Saturday. They're going to be there Sunday. It is nice to know that I'm going to get 4 from here and 3 from there and 5 from. It is nice. Again, but a lot of homes, when you move around, it causes instability. A lot of that is caused because we're trying to keep up with the Joneses. Now, I know it's nice to have a big, beautiful house. You say, but Block, do you have a big, beautiful house? I do not. Now, again, being a man, I'm not like, now you ladies are different than us fellas. Long as I have a place to sleep and food to eat, I mean, I'm a pretty happy creature. So my life is fairly simple. But again, ladies are not like that. Sometimes, ladies, if you're not careful, you will make your man work himself to death to provide things that you don't necessarily need. I'm so thankful Mrs. Block was not one. She was happy. Now, there was several years ago after the kids had all grown up and left, I said, babe, I said, if you want to, we can sell the property now. And we can go, because we hadn't lived in the house. We lived in the house in Heritage. We'd been in the mobile home for 20-some years out on the farm. And I said, we can sell the property now. It's paid off. And we can move into a nice house in town. And she said, no. She said, you know I hate neighbors, and you know I don't like being around a bunch of people, so we stay there by choice. Now, again, a lot of people do move from place to place to place. What that means is your kids go to different schools. You sometimes have to change jobs. A lot of instability. So, again, a Christian needs to be planted in the home. The next thing we need to be planted in is planted in our job. Notice Nehemiah chapter 4. I use this verse because this is, to me, an amazing accomplishment that Nehemiah and the children of Israel accomplished. They didn't have bulldozers, and they didn't have cranes, and they didn't have caterpillars. They didn't have all kinds of machinery. They just had labor, physical labor, men and women, and by the way, and children. All of them accomplished a lot. And again, it wasn't that all of them were even tradesmen. Some of them had some trades. Some of them did not. But by the way, you'll be surprised what you can do if you listen to someone who knows what they're talking about. Most of us can learn about anything. Sean here a while back was talking about helping me teach the kindergarten. And I said, are you sure you can learn phonics? And Sean came back with a real simple answer. Well, I think if you could teach a kindergarten phonics, you should be able to teach me phonics. And I thought, that's pretty wise, Sean, for a 17-year-old. That's pretty smart. Yes, if we can teach a 5-year-old, we should be able to teach a 17-year-old. But again, notice what it says in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. So built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. And again, the reason for that was for the people had a mind to work. Now, they just put their backs to it. They made up their mind that they was going to work. I say this all the time. You pay the plumber, and you pay the electrician, and you pay the air conditioned guy for knowledge. It is not necessarily something you could not do. It is something that you do not know how to do. That's why you pay them. You pay them for their knowledge. I don't know how many times I've stood and watched someone do something. I watched someone put a belt on my dryer one time, and I thought, Now, he said, I'm only going to charge you for the part. I'm not going to charge you anything else. And I waited till he left, and when he left, I brought up my phone, and I punched up the part that he charged me $69 for, and I found that I could have got it for $6.99. He lied. All right, now he tried to make me feel good by saying, I'm not going to charge you for the service call, I'll just charge you for the part. And he lied about it because the part was only $6.99. I guess he didn't think an old guy knew how to use the phone, and I don't know how to use the phone in a lot of areas, but I looked up the part. Now, by the next time I had to replace the heating element, I could do that. Next time I had to put a belt on the drum, I could do that because I stood there and watched. Now, he probably didn't appreciate me standing there watching him and asking him questions. That's why some businesses will have a sign up there that said, you know, service charge so much, ask questions, it's so much more. The truth is, you'd be amazed at what you can do if you go and you listen to somebody and let them teach you and you apply yourself. Again, we want to be planted in the job. Get a job and keep it. Now, again, I've been here for 37 years. When I was in Oklahoma City, I got a job there. I stayed there till I left Oklahoma City. There was some time when I was at Bible College, there were some guys that left their jobs because Dayton Tire, they already had two shifts. They put on a third shift, and I was making like $5 an hour. They were paying like $13 or $14 an hour, a lot more money than I was making at that time. And so a bunch of our other college guys quit their job, and they went to Dayton Tire on the third shift. That was nice for a little while until Dayton Tire realized, you know what, we're not making as much money as we thought we should, and they dropped the third shift. And all those guys who had left their jobs without giving 2 weeks' notice, making their bosses angry, they couldn't go back to that same old job before. While they was making $13 an hour, they was making a lot more than me at $5 an hour. But guess what? When they weren't working, my $5 an hour looked pretty good. And back then, $5 an hour bought a lot more than $5 an hour would today. I learned a long time ago. My dad taught me. And by the way, there's been times I've went to my boss, and you say, well, I need more money. I can get a better job over here. Go sit down and talk to your boss. If you are as valuable as you think you are, and hopefully you are, and you talk to your boss, and your boss realizes, you know what, I'm about to lose you because of 50 cents or a dollar, if they can afford it, most bosses would be glad to give you that raise if you really are that good of an employee. But again, find a job and keep it. Plant in that job. Now, by the way, there are no perfect jobs or perfect bosses or perfect employees. There's just not any. So find, again, also if you stay very long, you will find yourself climbing up the ladder. And usually as you climb up the ladder, guess what happens? You get paid more. And I can tell you, a raise is nice. Now, you say, well, it wasn't very much. I can tell you, any raise is nice. That's nice if you get a big raise. I'm still amazed that they pay the kids at McDonald's and Taco Bell the money they pay them now. The other day I asked one of the kids that was working at Chick-fil-A, I said, how much you make? And they were making $13 or $14 an hour at Chick-fil-A. And I thought, wow, that's a lot of money for working at Chick-fil-A. That's a lot of money for flipping burgers and putting greasy hamburger meat on a taco. I don't know if the rest of you, how many of you eat a Taco Bell? I like Taco Bell. But how many of you, when you get the crispy taco, when you eat it, the grease always makes it where the taco comes apart, and you end up with the first two bites, you're pretty good, but the last two bites, it's like all over. And I'm usually eating while I'm driving home from church because Taco Bell is Sunday afternoon on my way home, so I have to be careful because I get it on my white shirt, and I can tell you the grease from the taco does not come out of white shirts. If you was wondering, just giving you a little free advice, it doesn't come out of the white shirts. But again, we want to stay planted in our job. The next thing we want to stay planted in is our church. Planted in our church. Now notice in your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 10, a verse we often quote. Hold your finger there. We're going to also look at Acts chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 10, the verse we always quote when we're talking about church attendance. Hebrews 10, notice verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together in the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, we've been talking in times, Brother Nichols has told you, the next thing on the Christian calendar is the rapture, which means it can happen at any time. He said, he'll say sometimes it might even happen before we finish the service tonight, and it could. So what he said is, when you can see that the end times are here and they're really close, he said, I want you to go to church more often. Now, if you know your Bible very well, flip over to Acts chapter 2. Let me show you how often they were already going to church. Acts chapter 2, notice verse 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 47 says this, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, there was times that they had church services every day. So if you're wondering, you're saying, well, Blah Block, you know, it is tough to go to church three times a week. They went more than that. And that was back, by the way, when they didn't even have the command that we have that you're supposed to go to church so much the more as you see the day approaching. It is important that you stay faithful to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Those of us that have been here for years can tell you this. There are families that used to sit in the pew where you're sitting. They left the church. They got divorced. Their kids messed up. I mean, now, you say, was their marriage spectacular when they was here? No, it was not. Some of them were struggling in their marriages while they were here, but they were still in their marriage, and they were still working on it. But I can name you family after family after family that left here. And by the way, some of them you wouldn't even know today if you saw them that they were even saved. And some of them were bus workers and bus captains, maybe even the bus director. I mean, not Brother Perry. I'm not talking about Brother Perry. He's not here. I'm not talking about him. But again, one of them before him, that you younger folks would have no idea who it was. But again, we've had folks that left here. And by the way, when they got out of church, they messed up in a lot more areas than just church. If you're wondering whether church can get you through some tough times, it can. And by the way, the friends you meet at church will give you a lot wiser counselor than the friends you talk to out in the world. Because, see, the girls you talk to out in the world, ladies, will tell you, you know what, you shouldn't put up with that bum. And I'm sorry, ladies, if you didn't put up with those bums, none of us would be married, okay? Our marriage would have lasted 0 days, okay? So you don't need to listen to her. Please don't go to those ladies for counsel. And there's a lot of ladies out there that think very badly of men. And some of them have been hurt by some really stupid guys. And there are some really terrible men. By the way, I've also found there's some really terrible women out there, too. Used to, men had a monopoly on it, but that's not the case anymore. Women thought they'd want to move up, and now they've moved up, and so there's some pretty terrible women out there as well. But again, church will help you with that. And by the way, the friends you meet at church will help you with that. You'll find that when you're going through stuff, you have friends here. You have what we call the church family. And we call it the church family for a reason. Now you say, well, sometimes that means we bump heads. Yes, we do, because we're family. But also means that, again, the old saying, blood's thicker than water. You'll find that even if we get mad at you today, we'll get over it tomorrow. And we never quit loving you. We just didn't like you for a little while, okay? We never stopped loving you. We wasn't too sure that we liked you, I mean, at the moment, okay? But again, we want to stay planted in our church. I said, find a good church, plant there. Notice I didn't say find a perfect church, because there are none. And by the way, if there was, you and I would join it, and then we'd ruin it. If the church stays with the fundamentals, and by the way, there are a lot of churches that have no idea what the fundamentals even are. But if the church stays with the fundamentals, you should stay. Be planted, involved. By the way, when you stay involved, mom and dad, it brings up your kids involved. And then your kids in their 20s and 30s will be involved. And that's how we have several generations. If you've listened to Brother Murphy speak, Brother Murphy has told you that his dad was what? A bus driver, a bus captain. And by the way, Brother Murphy is in the ministry. I remember one time I was singing with my grandkids a song, and it was the Little Bird song. Some of you know the song. It's not a very spiritual song, but it's a song that we like to sing. You say, well, sing it to us. No, not tonight. Maybe some other time. I'm trying to be spiritual tonight. But the bird song's not very spiritual, but the kids like it. And this name is Orangutan Figa Figa Ostapec and Biga Bugle Ear Split and Loud and Blooming Bird. That's his name. Kind of like saying Polly wants a cracker. It's a real simple thing. And I was singing it with my grandkids, and my son started singing. And I said, you know that song? He said, I did go on the bus. He said, duh, I did go on the bus ride with you, if you remember. By the way, if you and I as parents will stay faithful and grounded in the church, it'll be a lot easier for our kids to grow up and stay grounded and faithful to the church. Stop looking for a church that agrees with you. Find one that agrees with God. And by the way, if you get nothing else out of the message tonight, you should get that. Don't look for a church that agrees with you. That's what a lot of people do. A lot of people go around there shopping for a church that agrees with them, where they feel comfortable. You don't want to feel comfortable. This isn't your house. We're not going to turn the sermon set down, and we don't want you to sit down on the couch, put your feet up, and rest. I mean, sometimes we want you to be uncomfortable. You know why? Because you're sinners, and so am I. And sometimes when the preacher gets on your sin, it will make you uncomfortable. Sometimes he will poke you. Sometimes you get lazy, so he'll poke you with a stick. I mean, and kind of like a parent, grab you by the ear and say, get out here and get busy. It's not always going to be comfortable at Liberty Baptist Church. If it is, then you're at the wrong church. But find a church that agrees with God. And by the way, don't worry about one that agrees with you. Next, we need to make sure we're planted in our marriage. Notice in Matthew chapter 19, we'll read a couple verses. Matthew chapter 19, notice verse 5. And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. Now, by the way, when it says that is really good advice. If you get married, you might be able to stay at mom and dad's for a little while, but I can tell you this, almost always when there's two families living in the same house, there will be some hard feelings. There'll be some bumping the heads. It's hard for two ladies to live in the same house and work in the same kitchen. It's hard for two guys to be there. But again, that's why he says, for this cause they shall leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall twain be one flesh. Verse 6, wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. So we need to be planted in our marriages. By the way, both couples or both people made this promise, better and worse, richer, poorer, sickness and health. Now, If I ask anyone here that's been married for 20 or 30 years, you know what? Almost all of them, if I said, have you ever had some better or some worse? They all have. If I'd say, have you had any richer or poorer? They all have. Have you had any sickness and health? They all have. Thankfully, you haven't had any death to your part yet, but I mean, the truth is, you made that promise. That was a promise you made. We'll often say you're making that before God and this company of witnesses. Again, it's not easy. Marriage isn't always easy. Marriage is work, just like a job is work. Because men and women are, if anything, we are opposites. And by the way, if you're not opposites, you fight because of that. If both of you are alphas, or both of you both of you are submissive, I mean, trust me, there'll be fights either way. If you say, well, if she wasn't so much like me, or if she was more like me. Well, the truth is, I talked to someone the other day, and they said, well, what we did was he watched his shows in one room, I watched my shows in another room. Say, what did you and Miss Block do? She would sit. Sometimes she'd watch the ball game with me, and then I'd sit and watch some dumb show. I mean, some show with her. And so that was the way we worked it out. But again, it was just a matter of being together. It wasn't really a matter of. I mean, because honestly, most shows. I mean, you can almost predict what's going to happen after the first 10 minutes anyway. I'll start saying something. She'll say, "Have you seen this before?" I said, "No, they're just so predictable. I could write the script for this show." But again, you want to be planted in your marriage. By the way, if you have problems, work them out. Plan on growing closer as you. Now, I remember when Brother Taylor, when my last child moved out, Brother Taylor said, "Nice now, huh?" And I said to him, "No, I liked all the noise," because I can tell you, I'm a people person. Now, my wife was, I mean, she wasn't as much of a people person, but I was. I like a crowd. Now, not anymore. You say, "Brother Block, can we come over?" Nope. Right now, Brother Block, don't really care if he talks to anyone other than the dog, and the dog doesn't talk back. She just licks me, and everything's fine. But the truth is, when you grow to older and the kids leave, it's just your mama. It's just you and your husband. And by the way, that's why you want to make sure that you not only love each other, but you like each other too. Because that's why you ought to be growing closer together so that, by the way, when they're all gone and you just have each other, you're still complete. You're still happy. Now, I can tell you that when it's earlier, the wife spends 24 hours a day taking care of dad and the kids. And by the way, when I say taking care of dad and the kids, it's really, if you have four kids, it's like taking care of five because dad's a kid. So, I mean, the wife's taking care of five kids, the four kids and dad. But when the kids are gone, it's just mom and dad. So, again, you want to make sure that you grow closer as you grow older together. The next thing we need to be planted in, we need to be planted in our doctrine. Notice Ephesians chapter 4 in our Bible. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, we're not going to look at a bunch of doctrines, but we want to make sure we're planted in our doctrine. Now, notice what Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 tells us. He says that we henceforth be no more children. Here's what children are: tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. Did you notice that magic tricks for children are not always near as entertaining for adults? Now, the kids can go, "Oh, man." I mean, you can fool kids stuff. By the way, that's why I said, don't be like children. Don't be tossed to and fro. I mean, don't be caught by the sleight of men. I mean, the trickiness or the cunning of men. By the way, he says, don't chase off after every doctrine. What we want you to do is be planted in doctrine. A Mormon should not be able to knock on your door and change you to a Mormon in one visit. A Jehovah's Witness should not be able to knock on your door and change you to a Jehovah's Witness in one visit. If they did, you have a problem. It's called not grounded in doctrine. Because, by the way, if you know your Bible very well, you know the Jehovah's Witness Mormons are not even close to the Bible. Right. Oh, they'll quote some of it, but they take most of it out of context. Right. Again, we want to be planted in doctrine. Study the Bible. Become planted. For instance, when we talk about salvation, notice Ephesians chapter 2. You ought to know this. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll read verse 5 and verse 8. We ought to understand that we're saved by grace through faith. Nobody should be able to change your mind about that, because you should understand it came from the Bible. Notice Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Notice verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Now again, understand, we should not be able to be changed by somebody else. When someone comes and says, there's some things you need to do to get saved, you should say, already done it, I got saved. By the way, that is all you have to do to go to heaven, is get saved. It's simply accept Christ into your heart. Notice in your Bible, Matthew chapter 1. We should never be swayed about the virgin birth of Christ. Now, there's a lot of churches now that do not believe the Bible is the Word of God. There's a lot of churches that do not teach that Jesus was virgin born. They call Mary a young woman. By the way, Mary was a young woman. That is true. But she wasn't just a young woman. She was a virgin. Notice Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Notice Luke chapter 1. You're a couple books away. Go to Luke chapter 1. Notice verse 27. And it says, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, if you notice, that verse, it uses virgin twice, making it very clear this is not just a young woman. The truth is, there are people that argue about how old Mary was. You say, how old do you think Mary was, Brother Block? I have no idea. And by the way, neither do you, nor does anybody else. She could have been 13 or 14. She could have been 17 or 18. But I can tell you one thing I do know. She was a virgin when she had the baby. Again, a virgin. There are some doctrines that we should be planted in. Now, there are some things that don't matter. If you listen to Brother Nichols the other night, he said, this is my opinion. You can have any opinion you want. Because there are some things, by the way, that we just give it our best guess. Especially a lot of the stuff about prophecy. Now, I grew up in a time, and I grew up in a place where Jack Van Impe was really, really big. And Jack Van Impe taught a lot of stuff about prophecy. And by the way, a lot of it was correct. The problem was a lot of the guys back then, they started setting dates on when Jesus was going to come. And then when he didn't come, they had to take that book off the market, and they had to write another one and put another book on the market. But they were telling you stuff that, by the way, not even the angels in heaven know. But you ought to be grounded, you ought to be planted in doctrine. Next, we should be planted in full-time Christian service to God. Now, not everybody's going to be preachers and missionaries and evangelists and Christian school teachers and stuff. But by the way, if you are that, you should be planted. By the way, the good rule of thumb is die in the ministry. Die in the ministry. Just grow old in the church. By the way, some of you have accomplished that. God bless you. I'm trying to do that too. You've grown old in the church. Some of you have been here for, what, almost 40 years? 40 years. Some of you are not even that old. Some of you think 40 years is old. He was in the church, and by the way, he was a grown man when he was there, so you know how old that makes him. He's like, I don't know, like 70 or 80 now. I mean, he's up there, but just joking, he's not that old. But again, you want to make sure you grow old in the ministry. We should plan to die in the ministry. You look at the greatest works around the country, some of the greatest works in the past, those from like Brother Jack Hiles, those like Dr. Lee Robinson. You know what? They were there for 40 years. They weren't there for a month or two or 6 months or a year. If you've ever been someplace, now I always, when I went to Brother Perry's property for the first time, I looked at that and I thought, man, I wish my property looked like this. Now listen to me, Brother Perry's property did not always look like that. Now when he bought it, it did, because someone else had already killed all the mesquite and had already cleared a bunch of stuff and already planted a bunch of pecan trees and planted a bunch and dug a pond and did some other stuff. But you know what, if you go out to most Texas brush country, that's why they call it brush country, because it's brush. And by the way, you say, well, just bulldoze that stuff down. We did. You know what it does? It grows back. And guess what it is when it grows back? Brush. And then, by the way, you can cut it down again, and it grows back, and it's brush. I mean, it's hard to kill that brush. Now, the grass isn't hard to kill, but the brush is hard to kill. Now, understand, Brother Perry's house wasn't like that. His property took a lot of work. I mean, someone stayed there for a while. I mean, someone had moved in and then they did some work on it. You can always tell when something's had some work put into it. Now, by the way, some works are just a work in progress. But when you think even like Joe Boyd was 60 years in the ministry. Now, when you say he won thousands to the Lord, he did tens of thousands, probably into the hundreds of thousands. But he didn't do that in a week or a month or a year. He did that year after year. And by the way, that adds up. If you just lead 10 people to the Lord this year, and by the way, 10 people to the Lord next year, and 10 people to the Lord next year. Soon you'll have 100 people that you want to the Lord. And then it could be 200, and then 500. But by the way, you just have to put in the time. Again, we want to be planted in the service. Sunday school teachers, bus drivers, workers. By the way, all of us, if you notice anyone, if you stated, I remember my youth director told me this. He said, you will not be able to even tell your kids, you won't be able to see what you do in your youth group unless you've been there for at least 3 to 7 years. Because what he said, when you first move in there and you first take over the youth group, if they're good kids, they're not good kids because you're the youth director. They're good kids because the last guy was a good youth director. You won't see any fruit from your ministry for a few years. By the way, that is true. You want to stay and you want to, again, stick around. Some of you know what you started with. If you've been married now for 20 or 30 years, I can tell you have a lot more stuff than you did when you first got married. When you first got married, we could have put all of our stuff in a little room. I mean, I remember when we first got married, we had stuff from my wife's, I mean, what do you call it, the hope chest. We had stuff from the hope chest that she had put away. And then her family gave us a table, but most of the stuff we went to yard sales, and we bought it at a yard sale. We paid $75, we got our couch, and we got the chairs and the bookends, I mean the end tables and the coffee table. They were that stuff, that the straps that went across. I mean, and the good news is, you set them long enough, they sag. So I mean, you can almost go to sleep in them. But I mean, now we have some nicer furniture now. Some of you do too. But you didn't get that when you was in your 20s. You couldn't afford that in your 20s. That's why we always say, that's why older people hate to move. We hate to move because we're old. We hate to move because we got a lot of stuff. We have no, I mean, you say, where are you going to put it? I don't know. You're going to have to get a train. You're going to have to rent the train and have the train take your stuff to your next house. They don't make trucks big enough for that. And by the way, that is true. If you want to stay, you want to see some blessings, then stay at it for a while. Stay in the Sunday school class. Stay on the bus route. Stay in the ministry. You'll see some blessings, but you have to stay at it a while. And the last thing, and I'll be done. The unplanted, notice verse 4 of Psalm chapter 1. Yeah. The unplanted are windblown and have little prosperity. Notice chapter 1, verse 4. The ungodly are not so. Now, I just told us how the ones planted have fruit and leaves, and they prosper. But verse 4 says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. When I was a kid, we planted a bunch of popcorn. We harvested the popcorn. We got it all off the cob. Here's the problem. You can't put that in the bowl. You know why? Because there's a lot of cob in there with the kernels. Say, what'd you do? We had to wait for a windy day. We laid a sheet down, then we laid it like a tub there, and we held the stuff up here, and we just poured it out slowly. You say, what happened? The wind blew the chaff away. Now, the popcorn fell down there, but the chaff blew away. You know why? Because it doesn't have any weight. It doesn't have any substance. There's nothing to it. And here's what he said. If you're not planted, you're like that. You're going to get blown around. And he said, by the way, you will not prosper. So we want to make sure, by the way, that we're not like the tumbleweed. Now, the tumbleweed doesn't take much wind to blow it. Now, a tree takes a lot of wind to blow it down. Tumbleweed doesn't take much. I mean, it can get blown with just a little wind. We need to make sure that we are planted, not unplanted. And by the way, make sure you're planted in the right things, especially with the right doctrines and the right church and the right ministries. Make sure that we're planted tonight. People of character will be planted. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessing. I pray, Lord, you'd help us all to be planted. Planted at Liberty Baptist Church. Lord, when people often talk about Liberty Baptist Church,